you have your copy of God's Word, I'd like for you to turn to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 2. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 7, Lord willing, this morning, Luke chapter 2. And when you get there, if you're able to stand, please stand for the reading of God's Word this morning. Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 1. And here the Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for the reading of your word. I'm praying now that you help me, Lord, this morning. Just anoint me to be able to preach on this text, and we'll give you the glory and honor for it all. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. This morning, with the help of the Lord, I'd like to preach a message that I've titled, "Too Consumed for Christmas." Too Consumed for Christmas. Here in this holiday season, and you've seen it, it's been going on ever since the end of October, that places are really ramping up for Christmas, the Christmas season, mainly because of the consumerism that takes place during this time of year. People are flocking the stores to buy that perfect gift that they want for someone. Many people are going there to get gifts for themselves. I asked my daughter one time, she went out to shop, and it was around Christmas time, and I said, "Did you get a lot of presents?" And she said, "Yeah." I said, "Who'd you get them for?" And she just kind of looked down, and I said, "You get them for yourself?" She goes, "Yes." So, you know, we get excited about this time of year, but there's a lot of consumerism. There's a lot of things that we do that distracts us. I mean, it gets us distracted from some of the important things of this season. Here in our opening text, we find that Jesus is going to be born. He's been prophesied to be born for many years. The prophets had been telling the people that their Messiah was coming. And they even told where the place was that he was going to be born. And they had all the signs there. They were all, everyone should have known. If you'd been waiting and watching for the Messiah, you should have known that this was the time, this was the place, this was when he was going to be born. But it seemed that they were all consumed with other things. They were not concerned as much about when the Messiah was going to be born. And we find here that this decree that was sent out over all the land. Now we know the Romans were the ones in charge there. This Caesar Augustus, he's the Roman emperor. What his word is what went. I mean, his word was it. And so he made this decree, which is an edict or a law, that was given out to everyone all across the world, if you will, because the Romans ruled the world. But in this decree, you had to come to the place that you were born to be counted. It was a taxing. It was also a census that they were taking to get everyone's names and to get it all. It's just like the census we take in the United States, I believe, what, every 4 years or so. They were doing that type of thing, but it was so that the Romans could collect taxes from the people. Now, the Romans, when they would wage wars on places, they had to pay for that war machine. I mean, there were thousands of Roman soldiers and a lot of upkeep and all the things that they did in the cities, the roads that they built, all the structure and everything. It cost a lot of money. And so to get that money, they would tax the people. And so as they would tax the people would have to come and they would have to enroll in the city of their birth. And that's why Joseph and Mary are going there to this place. That's where that Joseph is from. He's from the city of David, Bethlehem. And so this decree is sent out to all the world for people to come and register for these taxes. Now, needless to say, this taxing was the predominant thing on folks' mind during that time. I mean, that's all they could think about. Of course, they were all angry. I'm sure all the Jews would be angry because the Romans are forcing them to do this. We know it was in the days of Herod the king, but he's really a puppet on the throne. Caesar was actually the one pulling all the strings. His word was what was would mean anything. But all the Israelites, they would have had to come and give this taxing into the city where they were born. And I'm sure that it was disruptive of their lives. And that was probably all that they could think about. Now, a lot of them, I'm sure, would come together in the cities they were born, and families would get together. There have been a lot of people born in the same place. They would have come. It'd kind of been like a reunion. You know, we have family reunions here every now and then. My mother loves those, and she'll put them on every now and then. And we have a lot of folks around and that we never see any other time. But you know, I found lately that most of the times when I'm seeing people I hardly ever see is at a funeral. It seems like funerals nowadays have turned into family reunions. And you get caught up in things. But here we find that all these people are going to the place where they were born to be able to sign up or put their name down for the taxing, the census that they were having. And they were consumed with this decree. And so the thoughts of a Messiah being born was the furthest thing from the minds of any of these people. I mean, that was just out there. They were not concerned with it. Look at verse 4 of our text there in Luke chapter 2. The Bible says, "And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child." So Joseph, being from Bethlehem, he has to make this journey from Nazareth, where they're living at the time, to Bethlehem to register. That's about 80 miles. It's about an 80-mile trip. Now, they didn't have a good Nissan like I've got. They couldn't go out there and jump in the Sentra and drive for 80 miles and get there in just a little while. Me and Mary drove to Pittsburgh on Monday. That's 490 miles. And we drove the car up there. And it took us around 9 hours, I guess, total driving going there, stopping to eat and things. But coming back, it was raining. On Wednesday, it was raining. That's why I had to cancel services Wednesday. It was raining out there, and we were between tractor trailers 490 miles from Pittsburgh to Knoxville. And I didn't think we would ever get home. I mean, 11 hours on the road in between those trucks. Sometimes we're going 40 on the interstate, you know, trapped in there. And so it was excruciating. But in those days, they didn't have the luxury of jumping in a car and driving anywhere. And so they traveled by foot. Sometimes they would travel by animal. Now, in all the pictures you see of Mary and Joseph traveling to Bethlehem, you see Mary sitting on a donkey and Joseph walking beside it. That may have happened. That possibly could have happened. But the Bible never says that she rode on a donkey. It says that they went there. They could have both walked. Perhaps she did ride upon the back of a donkey just because of her condition of being great with child. It probably took them around 3 or 4 days, probably 4 days to reach Bethlehem from Nazareth if they traveled normally. And of course, with Mary being with child, it might have taken longer to take care of her. And so they're going over there, and they would do this every year anyway because of the Passover, go to Jerusalem. And so they're used to this. And most of the time they would travel in groups. A lot of families or people in the same town would travel together for safety reasons, but just to have companionship going. But they were all very consumed with the taxing. That's why they're all traveling. And you can only imagine the conversations that were taking place during this traveling as they're going there for 3 or 4 days. They were probably complaining about Caesar. Can you believe Caesar's done this to us again? You know, just like we do today. Can you believe the president's done this to us again? And we complain about things like that. I'm sure they were doing the same thing. This Roman government, they're intruding in our lives. They're taking our money. We're paying taxes all the time. Everything we make, we hardly bring anything home. And now Caesar care is taking place. You know, we have Obamacare. They probably had Caesar care. And so they're probably complaining about all these inconveniences in their life. And so the thoughts of a Messiah being born over here in Bethlehem is the furthest thing from anyone's mind. They're consumed with everything of the world. The world has consumed their thoughts. And so look at verse 6. "And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered." We don't know how long Mary and Joseph has been in Bethlehem at this point. When it came time for Jesus to be born, it says the days were accomplished. So it wasn't on the very day they arrived. A lot of times we'll have little church plays or Christmas plays, and we'll see that they arrive and they look and there's a sign out there, you know, no vacancy in the inn. And we have the angry innkeeper standing there at the door. "We don't have any room here." You know? None of that's in the Bible. But they are there for some time. We don't know how long. I don't think Joseph would have waited right at the very point to when she was going to deliver to travel. I'm sure he had planned this so that they wouldn't be traveling and her having the baby on the way. And so they probably had some thought into this. But I'm prone to think they were probably there for a while, most likely waiting their turn to register. You got to remember, there's thousands of people flocking to one city to register. And if it's anything like over here at the Straw Plains Center of TDOT, when you got to go and for anything driver's license related or anything, you may wait out there for 9 days waiting on that thing. I know you got to go up and you got to pull a ticket, you know, and hold it and wait for them to call your number. And you're always the last one they call. You know, the place is about to close and they call my number. But it's much like that. I mean, anything that had to deal with a government system, and that's what this was. This is a Roman government system. And so all these people probably had to wait and get in line and register, and they were probably questioned. And so this took a lot of time. And so they're there for quite some time. And the time came when Mary was to deliver the baby. And however long time was there, it doesn't matter. It was perfectly timed by the Lord. The Lord knew what time he wanted Jesus to be born. And this would fulfill the scripture perfectly as given by the Old Testament. Look in Micah, or you don't have to look there, but Micah 5 and 2 tells us about this. Micah 5 and 2 says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting." And so it was no secret that this was the place the Messiah was going to be born. They've known this for years. I mean, that's what the Jews were about. The Messiah, they were waiting on him. They were assuming he was going to come in their time period, in their lifetime, so that he would come and conquer Rome and ride in on a white horse and, you know, take care of everybody and sit on the throne. And you know what? He very well could have done that. If the Jews had accepted Jesus when he came the first time, he very well could have done that. But we know the Bible says they rejected Jesus. He came into his own, and his own received him not. And so they rejected the Messiah, even though God sent him there right at the right time, in the right place. They should have been waiting. There, it looks to me like there should have been a man of God that had been studying the scriptures, had been waiting, had been praying for the Messiah, that had known that he was going to be there in that place at that time. He should have been there waiting. But he was not. There was no one there waiting. In fact, we're going to see here that Mary herself does everything on her own. I mean, there's nobody even there to help her. Why? Because they're all consumed with the things of the world. They're consumed with everything else going on in life except for the most important thing. And the most important thing to the Jew was the Messiah. But they were not concerned right now. Look at verse 7 of our text back in Luke chapter 2. "And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Now, verse 7 here, I want to focus this message, the rest of it, on the few minutes we have left. In this last part, it says, "because there was no room for them in the inn." Now, of course, like I mentioned, we have these plays sometimes. I remember we had one here just a few years ago. And it was about that time period. And we had an inn set up, and we had somebody in a window, and we had a, you know, no vacancy sign, and there was somebody there that was scowling, you know, "We have no room in the inn." But we always think about this angry, cruel innkeeper, but like I said, the Bible never mentions that. It just says there was no room for them in the inn. Now, there could have been many reasons that would have been. Maybe it was much like it is here. When you go somewhere, like you go to Walmart, you know, you go there, try going to Walmart on a Friday afternoon or a Friday evening when everybody just got paid and everybody's off from work. Or try going there the day before Christmas. There is no room there at the Walmart. You can just look out there and see that every parking space is full. You got to park at the Crystal to get to Walmart. And so, you know, perhaps they came up upon the inn where it might have been the only one there available. And they come and they said, "Boy, this place is packed. There's a donkey in every stall over here. You know, we can't even get in. There's people waiting through the door." Maybe that happened. We don't know, but there was no vacancy for them. They had nowhere to go. Obviously, there was even no house there for them to stay in of a family member that was vacant at the time. So they had nowhere else to go. And here they have found a place. Someone has gave them a place to stay out there in the manger. And so everyone's consumed with all these things. Can you even fathom to think about the Messiah being right there at your end? I mean, here come some people, and the very Messiah of the Jews, the Savior of the world, is inside this woman's womb, and she's standing there in front of your inn, and she has nowhere to stay. Friends, if they'd known that, they'd have kicked somebody out of a room and gave them one, I guarantee you. They didn't know it. They wasn't looking for it. They wasn't expecting it. But Mary herself knew that who Jesus was. The angel come and told her. She knew that this was God's son. But here he is, no place to stay. Has to stay in a manger. This was not a nice place to be, all right? This is where the animals go. My dad raised animals. I know what it's like in a stall. And my papa had a barn, and he had a stall. And when a cow would get sick, he'd put a cow in one of them stalls and watch it. And I would go over there and look at them. I would climb up. It had those slat boards. And I would climb up on the slat boards, and I'd look over at that cow, and he'd be just sitting around, you know, like that. Yeah. It's not a pleasant place to be. It's not a place you would think about being born into. I mean, nowadays, everything is so clean. You go over to the women's pavilion where my wife had our children at, over at St. Mary's in the women's pavilion. And I mean, they're walking around. Everybody's got a mask on. Everybody's got gloves on. Everybody's got hairnets. And I remember I went in. By the way, who started this thing of the men going into the room when the babies are born? Who started that? If I can find them, I tell you what. But anyway, I remember going in there, and they made me put on a paper suit over my clothes. So I go in there in a paper. Well, actually, I had to take my blue jeans off and put on this paper suit. And I'm in there, and all of a sudden, this nurse comes up behind me, and she's got a gown, and she wraps it around me and says, "You might want to put this on." And I was like, what in the world's wrong? She says, "You've busted the back of your paper pants out." So anyway, but that was free for you. I'm sorry. So everybody in there is cleansed and clean. The doctors walk around like this right here, you know. They don't want anything to get dirty or anything. And the nurses are all got gloves on. They're picking things up. It's all clean and everything. Can you only imagine your baby being born in an animal stall where the animals have been there? And you know what animals do. I mean, they don't have bathrooms like we have. And so it's nasty. It's a nasty place. And the Savior of the world is being born inside of a nasty manger. I mean, this is the King of Kings, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the great I Am. And he's down in a lowly manger being born like nothing but a plain servant, a slave. That's how our Savior came into this world as a man. Well, so here everybody's consumed with the taxing. Could care less that the King of all kings is being born over in a manger. As you look around and observe the society today, you're going to find that we are much like these folks were in the days that Jesus was born. Consumed with the world. Consumed with everything except the most important thing, and that is Jesus Christ. I mean, people today, and Christians, and I'll lay this squarely on the shoulders of the church and Christians today, we're consumed with everything except for the most important thing, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. You go around and you ask the average Christian, the average person that goes to church, and I mean they go to church when the doors are open, and you ask them about what they've done with Jesus this week. What have you done with Jesus? And they don't have a clue what you're talking about. What do you mean, what have I done with him? What have you done? What have you, in your part, what have you done with Jesus? And sadly, we're consumed with everything else. They could tell you where they went shopping. They could tell you what movie they saw. And I'm going to give you some things here. I've got five things today that people are consumed with today instead of the thing that matters the most. These five things, and you may be guilty of one of them, or you may be guilty of all of them. I'll go ahead and confess I'm guilty of several of these things, being consumed with these things. And that's why I titled the message, "To Consume for Christmas." Now, of course, we know Christmas, and Christ is part of that, Christ Mass, and we say Christmas, but I want to emphasize the word Christ in Christmas. And we're too consumed for Christmas. Now, while it's true, there's a lot of people talking about Christmas. A lot of people that's, you know, going around in the scuttle and the hustle and bustle, getting ready for the Christmas season. And we're listening to Christmas music. I've been listening to Christmas music all year, by the way. They play it on Pandora 24/7. But you hear an awful lot of folks that are being consumed with a lot of other things today. The bargain, the good deal. You know, ever since Thanksgiving, I've been getting bombarded with emails from all of these companies, from Best Buy to Lowe's to Home Depot to Sears to JCPenney's. You just name it. I'm getting all these emails from all these companies with this bargain that I can't live without. And I mean, they're giving me discounts and all this stuff and special times to come and to buy things. And we're keeping the doors open later and we're opening earlier. And I mean, it's just consumed with all this stuff. And it started there right at Thanksgiving, right before Thanksgiving. Our Black Friday sale. Come in on Thanksgiving. We're going to open the doors at 4:00. Eat your turkey and come to our store. There were people waiting in line on Thanksgiving evening for a store to open on the next morning, on Black Friday. And I saw it on the news. I watched the people, they're standing there, you know, standing around in these lines, you know, and Thanksgiving is the furthest thing for the people sitting at the Thanksgiving dinner table with their smartphone looking for a deal while they're eating turkey with the other hand. Now, friends, I want you to know we're consumed with everything. But Black Friday sale, Small Business Saturday, Cyber Monday, Post-Cyber Monday, 12 days of Christmas sales, and it goes on and on and on. And people are consumed with all this, but they're not consumed with Christ. They're not consumed with Christ. We're consumed with self and consumed with pleasing other people, but I've not received a single ad for the last 2 months, a single ad that wanted to help me celebrate the birth of Jesus. Not a single one has mentioned the birth of Jesus. But I can get a good deal on electronics. Anybody need a 32-inch flat screen? I can send you to the place. Too consumed for Christmas. The first thing I see that most people are consumed with at Christmas time, and please, don't get mad at me for saying this, but we're too consumed with Santa Claus. I assume that our sign out there would probably get some hate mail or some angry phone calls that was out there. I liked it. Jesus died for everyone. Santa died for no one. I figured we'd get some angry parents on that, and we may still. But why do you think the post office is flooded with letters to Santa? Why do you think that? Because that's what we think about when we hear the word Christmas. Santa Claus. Santa Claus. And so we're consumed with Santa Claus. Why is the post office not flooded with letters to Jesus? Happy birthday Jesus letters in the post office. You know, we have some people here that work in the post office. Sister June, you work there. Did you get happy birthday Jesus letters in the mail? Why, no, but I bet you there were Santa Claus letters. Oh, yeah, all the time. And so we're consumed with Santa during this time of year, but we're not consumed with Jesus, the whole center of the whole holiday of Christmas. Better yet, how many times have you actually bowed your head and thought and thanked Jesus for this time of year and for all the blessings that you have? But we think about Santa Claus every time we hear the word Christmas. I know I did. When I was a little boy, when I heard Christmas, I thought Santa Claus. That was my first thought. And so I understand that. I know that because that's how our society is. That's how people are getting raised and things. But that's the first thought. The second thing that I see that people are consumed about this time of year, they're consumed with television and entertainment. Movies, TV, entertainment. I mean consumed with it. Did you know that in the U.S. alone, Americans spend an average of $20 billion a year on movies? $20 billion. I can't even count that high, okay? That's a 000000000. Is there three more? 000. That is billions, $20 billion every year, and $13 billion on video games. Billion dollars on video games. And we're trying to raise $1,000 for some missionaries that need a church to go in, but yet we're willing to go out and spend what's a movie ticket cost? I ain't been to movies in years and years. $8? Six? Eight? I don't know what they are. But we're willing to go out and do that, but what about we drop it over here in the missionary bucket? Too consumed with entertainment. Does anybody in here know what the highest grossing movie was so far for 2016? Can anybody tell me what it is? You'll know as soon as I tell you. I had to look it up. I don't know what this is. The highest grossing movie for 2016 so far is an animated Walt Disney movie that was released just in June, on June the 17th, on my son's birthday. June the 17th, this movie was released. It's an animated Walt Disney movie, and it's called Finding Dory. That is the highest selling movie of this year. And people are flocking to see this movie. Now, I don't know anything about it. It may be a great movie. I've never seen it. Don't know what it is or anything. But that's what people are consumed with. That movie alone has grossed $486,286,573 in just the short amount of time it's been out, since June. The highest rated or grossing movie of this year. Surely, out of all that money, they have found Dory by now. Surely. Well, what if every child that went to watch Finding Dory or Jungle Book, the Jungle Book was the fourth highest grossing movie. It was up there in the 300 something million dollar range. Or the life of, I think, The Life of Pets or something like that, The Secret Life of Pets. That was like the third highest grossing movie up there in the $300 million range. What if every child that went to see all these movies, every child that watched Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, every child that watched How the Grinch Stole Christmas, every child that watched one of my favorites, the one where they get up and sing about, I'm Mr. Snow Miser, I'm Mr. Snow, everybody loves that. What if everybody that watched all these shows and all these movies, every child, what if every one of these was read about the story of Jesus? What if every one of them was told about Jesus Christ instead of seeing this, of watching this? Now, some of those probably were. Some of them probably had Christian parents that's told them about Jesus. But I guarantee you the biggest percentage of those that's watched these shows have never even heard about Jesus. They've never been taken to Sunday school and sat and heard from a Sunday school teacher to tell them about Jesus so that their soul could be saved. They've never went and been set on the church pew and heard the message from the Word of God to tell them they're a lost sinner bound for hell unless they trust Jesus as their Savior. What if all of these people that paid $485 billion, whatever it was, $486 million to watch this movie, what if every one of them had been told about Jesus Christ? What if every one of them had been handed a gospel tract instead of going to see a movie? What if that happened? We may be seeing scores of people saved. We may be seeing thousands of young people hearing about Jesus and getting saved. But sadly, we're consumed with all of the entertainment, all the movies, but we're not consumed with Christ. The third thing I find most people are consumed with at this time of year are presents. Presents, gifts. Every child has a Christmas list. I've always had one. Every child has one. It's filled with all the things that your heart desires. Big things and little things. Things that you hope that you're going to be able to get. Most of them you probably won't. Most of these are dictated by what children see in commercials on television. The average child sits in front of a television for 6 hours a day. And in those 6 hours are bombarded with commercials of things that these places want you to buy. Why do you think they call it, why do you think they call them consumers? Why do you think they call us consumers? Because we're consumed with all these things. We want to consume, we want to buy these products. And it starts with the children seeing this on the screen. They see all these little happy children playing with these toys. I remember when I was a little boy, and the big things back then, they're nothing like they are now. On those angel tree gifts we were looking for the other day, I'd never heard of some of these things. And I was having to ask. I was going to the store and ask them, yeah, what, do y'all have this? I don't know what this is. And they said, I don't know what that is. But nobody knows what it is. But the kids do because they watch it on TV. And these little kids are thrilled with them. But when I was a child, the big things was Hot Wheel track. And I loved those things. Boy, I collected Hot Wheels and Matchbox cars. But every commercial, the little boys would sit around with the Hot Wheel track that had the loop on it. And it then had a ramp on it. And a ramp on the other side. Did you know on the commercial, those things would start at the top, they'd go around the loop, and then they'd ramp over and hit the other ramp and ride off. And little boys would be sitting there, you know, laughing and smiling. And I thought, boy, if I get one of those, I'm going to be the happiest kid in the world. I got one of those Hot Wheel tracks with all the loops and all the ramps. Mine never made it around a loop. Mine never hit the other side of the ramp. It was terrible. And I was so heartbroken. It was nothing like it was on TV. But the next thing would come along, and boy, I've got to have that. And so the stores and all the manufacturer of all these things, they push all this out there so that your child will be consumed with wanting that next thing. And that's what's happened. We're consumed with presents and gifts. And so that's why we're called consumers. We're consumed with all these products. People are so consumed with presents, they have no time to be consumed with Christ. no time to be consumed with Christ. The fourth thing I find that people are consumed with this time of year are activities. Consumed with activities. There are so many activities going on right now. I mean, if you want something to do, I can give you a list of things to do. Probably starting at 6 o'clock in the morning until 12 o'clock at night, maybe even through the night. But right now, there are so many things. I did a quick search on Google on activities in Knoxville for Christmas. Listen to what I got. First hit, first thing up there, you can do all this stuff right now here in Knoxville. The Fantasy of Trees is over with, I believe, from last week. Fantasy of Trees, Holiday on Ice, Skating in the Park, the WIVK Christmas Parade, Fantasy of Lights, Nutcracker on Ice, Jazz for Tots, Comcast Christmas at Chill Highway Park, Victorian Holiday Home Tour, Winter Magic Tunes and Tales, and on and on and on. That's just a little fraction of the activities that you can do this time of year. And people are so consumed with activities, but they're not consumed with Christ. And I'm not saying that all these activities are bad. In no way. Some of these are really good. The Fantasy of Trees. They raise money for the Children's Hospital. And that's a good thing. I appreciate that. But all these things gets us, all these activities, they get our minds focused on the consumerism and all the activities and all the entertainment. But we forget about Jesus Christ. And these things become idols in our life. Anything that you put before God, comes between you and God, becomes your idol. And so any of these things that's consuming you is an idol. And the devil likes nothing better than to get you consumed with everything but Jesus Christ. That's his number one goal, is consume you with things outside of Jesus Christ. The fifth and final thing that I find that everyone is consumed with, and that is consumed with, number one, self. Self. Out of everything we've talked about so far, this one is the very worst. Being consumed with ourselves. We live in the me generation. It's all about me. Never in the history of man has there been so much emphasis placed upon self. We're completely consumed with it. The number one goal in most people's lives is to see that they receive everything that they think they're entitled to. Do you know most young people today, their number one goal is to get a viral video. They want to do something that's so outlandish, it's so different, that somebody will pick up on it. They can put it up on YouTube and somebody will see it and their video will go viral. And that's their obsession in life, is to go viral. If I could just think of what to do. And so they're doing all kinds of things. They're taking their clothes off. They're saying nasty things. They're doing all kinds of crazy stuff just to see that their video will go viral. And we're consumed with ourselves. If you go back to our text back there in Luke 2 and 7, we read this. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and it don't say she, but it says, and wrapped him, so she wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and she laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Do you notice that the Bible right here says that Mary did all of this? Where was the midwife? Where was the nurse? Where was the doctor? Where was her husband? It doesn't even say Joseph was there doing it for her. It says that she did this. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. She did it. Why was there no one else there? And you know what? That's very strange for the Jews. The Jews made sure if there was a woman going to be delivering a baby, they had everything took care of. That woman, all she had to do was to give the birth. Everybody else did everything else. They came in with the pots and the swaddling clothes and all the help, and there was usually two or three women there that would help out the woman. There was not a soul there to help her. She's doing it all. They were taking care of everything else in this world and consumed with everything else, but not consumed with Christ. Not a thought about him. The birth of Jesus was not a secret. We've already read it. The prophets prophesied his coming for 1,000 years. The Jews had been standing there waiting for the Messiah to come, and they completely left Christ out of the first Christmas. Completely left him out. Consumed with everything. Let me ask you this morning. What are you consumed with this time of year? Are you consumed with Santa? Are you consumed with entertainment and activities, movies, television? Are you consumed with presents and gifts and all that? Are you consumed with all these activities and things that you can do and go to? Or are you just really consumed with yourself? So much so that you completely forgot about Christ. Y'all wrote a song many years ago, "Don't Take Christ Out of Christmas." I'll sing it sometime before Christmas. But it talks about how we think about all the papers and the wrappings and the gifts, the candy canes, the candy, and Santa. But we don't think about Christ, the real reason for the season. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you may be feeling guilty. Maybe the Holy Spirit's convicting your heart that maybe you're too consumed right now with everything else in this world and this life and not consumed enough with Christ. Maybe here this morning because you know it's getting close to Christmas and suddenly you thought, well, I probably ought to be going to church. That's good. I'm glad. But let me ask you something. What about after Christmas? What about after all the lights are down, the trees are gone, the Christmas music stops? What about Jesus? What about Christ? Are you going to be thinking about Him? Are you going to be too consumed with life and forget about Him again? You know, the answer this morning is, of course, to repent of all this, all these things that's consumed us. Come before the Lord with humility. Repent of all these things in our life and ask the Lord to forgive us. And just let Him know the most important thing this year during Christmas is Jesus Christ. He's the most important thing. I'm going to tell my children. I'm going to tell my grandchildren. I'm going to tell my family. I'm going to tell my friends. I'm going to tell my coworkers. Everybody that I meet. I'm going to tell them about Jesus and not leave Him out of Christmas. I'd like them to come and get the invitation song. Since Brother Roger's not here, just play something there on the instruments. And while they play something, I want to ask you to this morning to please stand if you're able to, and let's stand. I want to pray, and as I'm praying, if the Holy Spirit's been speaking to you and you need to make things right, maybe you need to repent of some of this consumerism or this being consumed with the world or self, would you just make your way down to the altar and pray, ask the Lord for help? Maybe you're lost today. If you need to be saved, would you come down to the altar and let me show you from the Word of God what it says and how you can be saved? Any need at all, while we pray, you make your way down to the altar. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much, God, for the message today. I pray, Lord, that You find us always, Lord, remembering You. Lord, the great sacrifice that You made for us. Lord, robing Yourself in flesh and being born in a lowly manger, God, is nothing but a humble servant, just so that we could know Jesus, just so that we could be saved from our sins. Lord, if there's one in this building today, God, that needs to make things right with You, whether it be salvation, a backslidden condition, God, something going on in their life that's overwhelming them, and Lord, they need to get close to You, God, would You have them come to this altar this morning and let us pray with them? Lord, if there's one, God, convict that heart. Everybody keep praying. If you need help, you come down to the altar. We're just going to play a few verses. If you don't come, we'll close the invitation. You come.